Hello, and welcome
to the center of Death Valley.
I'm Dave.
And I'm John.
I was the first one this time. It's been a while.
We don't plan that.
But no, it's usually you're the first one.
Because I'm the host.
Are you? You're a Muppet.
Oh, I guess that's not established either. I guess we're both the host. There's no co-host.
You do all the interviews, though. You don't even tell me about them. You just do them.
I just do them. I impose them upon the interviewees and everyone else.
And I get a little mad, too. I'm like, man, I want to do what? The interview the sword belt guy?
Oh, yeah. That I should have had you in on that. You're right.
I had some questions.
This is the Devil's Advocates, legally distinct podcast and variety show.
I'm Dave.
And I'm John. And this is a fucked up intro.
We messed it up bad.
I don't know why I'm doing the YouTuber voice.
Please stop it. Don't start a character.
Don't
get stuck in something.
No, we had a great idea for a conversation. I actually don't want to derail us this time.
Yeah, please don't. I had an idea from the last episode, and what the fuck happened?
I derailed it.
Lover's Lab.
This one is not sponsored by loverslab.com.
Thank fucking God.
This episode is sponsored by Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, fuck no. We're sponsored by everything evil this season. Can we just be sponsored by fucking Hasbro?
We're sponsored by Elon Musk. That's not even as bad.
No, it's not as bad as Hasbro. So we're going to talk about D&D?
Yeah, we're going to talk about D&D. Dungeons and Dragons, buckle up, nerds. This is a nerd episode. If you're not a nerd, you can fuck off right now. So if you've ever had sex, this episode isn't for you.
Yeah, you need to get out of here right now. You are too much of a Chad for this.
Yeah, even one time. Yeah, no. Now, if you're an incel, then
buckle up. Yeah. I'm going deep. So deep.
But not in a sexual way, because
we don't know what sex is. Because
we don't get, yeah, we don't, that
especially
doesn't happen.
Especially you. Well, I guess you know it more than me.
Yeah, because I fucking,
because you have a hand up your ass at all times. And you have that slippery butthole, as we established in the first episode. Where's the lighter?
What happened?
I was sitting on it. I'm a cactus. So let's travel back. Way back to 1974. And in Minnesota, there's this guy named Dave Anderson.
Okay.
Mr. Anderson is running war games with some college buddies. And they're getting a little bored of it. So he cooks up a role-playing game for them. They're in this town in Napoleonic France. And they're each assigned characters. One's a cook, one's like a colonel. And they have to establish a defense from an attack. And it's a really interesting game.
Yeah, it's still very military war game.
But they're all war games.
More of a role-playing aspect to this one.
And he finds that they like this. In one of his war games, he puts a fucking druid on the map with a fucking phaser, and it just destroys an elephant.
Yeah, and then they're hooked.
then they're hooked.
As soon as a druid destroys an elephant with a phaser gun, it's...
it's on.
You're not gonna stop. It's not the time to stop.
Yeah, no, they're playing like a standard war game, and one of the units has a fucking phaser.
A druid, no less.
Yeah, no, yeah.
A fucking druid. What the fuck? A nature-loving, hippy-dippy, animal-talking druid shows up with a goddamn phaser gun and explodes an elephant. Of course, they were compelled.
Yeah.
That's gripping. You're not going to stop after that.
They kept
that.
Coming to his basement to play on his ping-pong table. These are real facts. They still have the ping pong table to this day.
I knew very tiny facts about this. Like, I knew that it started as war games, but I did not know these details. This is great. The fucking the fucking elephant exploding druid.
Yes.
Right there is enough for me. Okay, alright. Yeah. So this is how it starts.
Yeah.
And are they using dice at this point?
Yeah, they're using, like, D6s and D20s.
Okay. Where were they getting D20s from back then?
They still made them for war games.
Oh, okay.
I think they even had percentiles back then, too.
So D&D was not the...
No, it was not the first one.
This was the progenitor to D&D using dice for this... Okay, alright, cool.
D&D is based off of war games. It's actually based off of a war game called Chainmail. If we're really get into it, written by Gary Gygax.
Okay, I was wondering when Gary Gygax was going to get into this, because him I know about.
So, Dave Arneson takes Chainmail, which is a 58-page little book with, like, 23 pages about single combat and stuff like that. And he writes some other rules for traps and things like that. It's, like, 96 pages. And he invites his friends down for Christmas break, and he plays the first game of D&D called Blackmoor.
I've heard of Blackmoor.
Yeah, Blackmoor is a castle in a realm called Mysteria, and it's from it doesn't matter, and it's like, and he gives everybody these character sheets. There's fighters, there's wizards, there's clerics. It's very there's rogues. It's very basic, and he sets them into the dungeon. And he gives them no, like, you can do whatever you want, and some of them work together, some of them kill each other. They split off into groups. These first games of D&D were with, like, 16 or 17 players.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never played anything like that.
And they would form their own parties, and, Gygax's group in, so Anderson sends the rules to Gygax, and he's like, this is what I've come up with from your rules. What do you think you can do with it? And Gygax is like, watch me go. And he writes a 223-page rules.
Okay.
And his castle is called Greyhawk, which is also a castle with a dungeon that players can explore.
Greyhawk I haven't heard of. Interesting that I've heard of Blackmoor.
But not Greyhawk. I don't
know where I came across that.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. That's sort of the thing, is like my knowledge of the actual lore behind D&D is very surface level. I've barely scratched the surface.
I read a book about the history of D&D, of dice and men. This is where a lot of my
dice and men.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's genius.
So, Gygax writes his rules, and like they're talking back and forth on the phone
of dice and men.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I it came to me, I'm putting this in there for my editing
Legally distinct of Dyson Men, because it's a title of a book.
I can use it as a title of an episode.
Okay.
What are they going to do, sue me?
They might, they're a journalist.
I dare them. First of all, they'll have to hear this episode, and if that happens, then I'll consider getting sued a success.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, not to derail.
Okay, so, they're talking back and forth, they're working on this game, and in 1975, Gygax and Arneson, under the name TSR, published Dungeons & Dragons. And it sells 2,000 units.
Solid.
Not great in the market, though. When you have games like Monopoly and other old war games selling like 10,000 to 50,000 units.
As a beginner, entrepreneur, 2,000 units would be a good day for me, but also that does not a business make.
And TSR puts out some other games, like some Napoleonic War battleship games, and they try to put out a John Carter game, and the John Carter estate is like, no, you can't do that. And they try to put out a Lord of the Rings game, and the Tolkien estate is like, no, you can't do that. So early days are very hard for them.
Right. They haven't come up with enough original content yet.
And then the third guy with them, his name is Mike Bloom, I think. There's a lot of names in this. He dies. He's the money guy. He's like the one who gets the business side of it.
Okay, yeah, you need that.
Yeah, and he dies, suddenly on them, and now they're on their own. And Anderson doesn't write very well or write very fast, and Gygax writes very fast and very well, and like has an understanding. And they publish 5 books for D&D, and then Advanced D&D comes out. That's second edition. And in the process of this, Gygax outs Anderson from the company. They fire him, or he quits. No, they fire him, because they don't want him around anymore. They don't want any disputes on who's the creator, who owns D&D, because it's starting to pick up, and then the satanic panic happens.
Yeah. Yep.
And D&D takes off, and they start selling millions of units. And Arneson goes into business with the granddaughter of the woman who wrote Buck Rogers of the 21st Century. You know the comic from the 30s and 40s?
Buck Rogers?
And of the 21st Century.
No, I don't know that.
He goes into business with her, a famous pop science fiction writer, and she ends up outing Gygax.
Oh my god.
Because he's running the business into the ground. He has no business mind. He's in Hollywood trying to sell D&D movies.
He's a writer, not a business.
Yeah,
business
he's man. A writer. He's a writer. He doesn't understand the business part of it.
I can relate.
Me too.
Yeah. Well,
and then after like 6 years of owning the company and not doing very well, TSR sells to Wizards of the Coast in 1996. Good old Wizards.
And who is the Wizards of the Coast?
They're the makers of a card game called Magic the Gathering.
So
the biggest card game in the world buys the biggest role playing game in the world. And after about 5 or 6 years, Hasbro, the biggest game maker in the world, buys Wizards of the Coast, which has the biggest card game in the world, and which has the biggest role-playing game in the world.
Consolidation. Gotta love it.
It's a monopoly.
Yep. Gotta love it.
And they release 3rd edition D&D, which is an open-source game.
For math nerds.
Yes.
Oh my god. I remember 3rd edition. We played a little bit of that. Yeah. Holy fucking shit. That game wasn't made for people like me. I think it was made for people like you.
Yeah, I was really good at it.
You did really well. I could only play that game if I was playing with you.
Yeah, because I'd make your character and...
you would tell me what to do, and you would tell me how it all worked while I was doing it.
And how much math you had to do.
The only decisions I had to make was which lizard folk's dick do I suck to get out of this prison so I can get my fucking hands on some more skooma.
You had a skooma problem.
Every time you had skooma
in a game, I
got addicted.
Yes, immediately.
Because that's
like,
what I do. Why would I...
Do anything else.
Why would I play a game, find out that there's a hardcore drug, and not try it?
I don't know.
It just
makes sense.
This here is a special coyote weed bowl. It's got coyote dust on it.
Oh, from the coyote itself. It's
Yeah. They farted up. Oh, hey. Why don't we take a hard fucking pivot right now from D&D and talk about something that we saw?
Oh, a coyote and a wasp.
Let's talk about the big girl. Let's talk about the big girl that we met.
She was a very big girl.
So we're walking on a wash, as we do, because we live in Death Valley. And there's
so many washes.
The washes here are magical, yeah. So it's worth checking them out. And because they're magical, some weird shit happens in them, such as meeting...
The
larger,
biggest coyote.
Larger than average coyotes.
Oh my god, it was
that
so
when you see them, you think that they're a fucking wolf that's escaped from the local
zoo.
I thought it was
a big ass husky.
I thought.
I was like, that is not a coyote.
I thought for sure that a wolf had escaped from the Death Valley Zoo, and we were absolutely fucked. There was nothing that either of us had on us that would have saved us from a wolf.
We had to work as a team.
But a coyote, on the other hand, they're...
But that coyote, though...
That coyote...
With its heckles up, it was so fucking massive.
It was very scared when it saw us, but... of course, when we saw it, we were also scared, and all we see is this massive canine looking like a wolf coyote.
Yeah, coming for us.
I freaked out. I was carrying a staff, threw it to the ground, and pulled
and
out.
And that to me, because I was carrying nothing.
Yeah, no. So I freaked out and, like, all logic left. And I just throw my staff to the ground so I can pull out a knife.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I have a fan in my hand. That's what, I'm carrying a fan. And I'm like, oh, he's not gonna, and he throws it in front of him, too. He's standing in front of me, and he throws it in front of him.
Well, the thing is here was the thought process. Not that there was much of a thought process, but the thought process was this. You're behind me, and I figure you're going to stay behind me. I'm hoping that you'll stay behind me. And I have my knife ready. And if the thing comes at either of us, it's probably going to come at me. Because I'm closest, and you're the biggest. I'm a tiny little Muppet.
Yeah.
You're a giant amorphous demon cloud. It's probably going to come for the weaker target. In that moment, you would have at least been able to get away. At that, like, that was what I was really thinking about. Not that it was a thought, to be honest. It was more of an instinct. One of us needs to get away from here.
Oh, but that wasn't my instinct. My instinct was to protect you. I wasn't going to leave you in the wash with the coyote. My instinct was to get us the fuck out of there. You stood and fought. Mine was like, oh, where's our egress out of this fucking wash?
It's my experience with wild animals that running away is usually not a great plan. But it depends on the wild animal. When it comes to most canines, as long as it's one, generally speaking, standing your ground and showing them that you're willing to defend yourself is the best idea. If it had been a pack, now that would have been a different story. That would have been like, beep, beep, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Like, at that point, you would have been morally justified to trip me.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have tripped you. I would have elbowed you in the fucking nose.
Just
bam, fuck out of my way. Oh, my God, I was walking with a friend last night, and he's like, if we're getting chased by a bear or something... And we're running, I'm going to beat you. And I'm like, no, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to lead with an elbow to the nose. That's going to be my first fucking move as I'm moving forward. We started at the same fucking pace, motherfucker. You might outrun me, but you're not going to beat me. I'm just taking you out of the race.
Either one of us goes down or both of us goes down.
And it's starting with you.
Someone's getting eaten by a bear today.
Or actually, I think I was telling...
Both of us.
I was telling him the wash coyote story.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I just out fucking run you. No, I was like, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. He said, oh, you tripped me? I don't know. I'd put you out of the fucking race. I'd break your nose.
I guess we learned something kind of weirdly interesting that day. Which is that... It's very strange, because you are bigger than me. I think I'm... I don't know what exactly it is, because my instinct... I think it's not the first time you've seen it. My instinct is never really to run away from something.
No.
Even when it's stupid to fight the thing I'm fighting. Even when it's, like, clearly stupid. Like, there's no way I'm gonna win.
You picking fights with people who are much bigger than you.
Yeah.
And I have to grab you by the back of the shirt and pull you away.
Like, there's something, like, wrong with my psyche that when it comes down to a conflict, I'm like, if it comes down to a fight, then it comes down to a fight. and it's stupid.
No, it's stupid. Like, you can always avoid a fight.
Avoiding a fight, because I know too much about myself now.
Yeah, you like to fight.
I know too much about what happens when I get into a real conflict. Like, we went through that kind of recently, actually. To give too much detail, but there was a rival demon that was haunting your home. And...
oh, yeah, he was banging on the walls.
And he was screaming in demon speak about all kinds of satanic shit. And,
You wanted to switch Cactus Apartments with me.
Oh, were you told about
yes,
that?
Yes, I was.
Did I tell you about
no.
that?
No.
I didn't think so.
Carmen told me about that.
Oh, how did she... Oh, okay. Now it all makes sense. Amy told her. Because here's the thing. All right, here's the thing. Because the first time it happened, I was there. We were playing
D&D.
Yeah, we were having a great time. And it happened, and it was confusing. And I didn't know what was going on. And that's why I didn't react. Because I'm like, I don't even know if it was happening to us. Like, I just didn't know what was happening. Then,
because
like,
it was early enough in the day, and
when I learned the pattern, that's when I got into this. That's when I started thinking about it, and I was like,
"You get obsessive about it."
I was like, "I can't go there. I can't be there because if that happens when I'm there,
you're gonna freak out.
I'm gonna do something stupid, and this guy, this demon, almost certainly can blast me away.
Yeah, definitely.
In a millisecond, just by pointing at me."
Yeah, definitely.
As a Muppet, I can't handle that. It's one shot and I'm dead.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it.
Yeah, I know you did.
So thank God that fucking demon got exercised from your cactus circle.
It's been very nice there now. All the other demon neighbors are very nice.
It's just like... that's the thing about demons. We stereotype them all the time.
But sometimes it's true.
Some of them are motherfuckers.
So, another change in topic?
Yeah.
I had a book I wanted to talk about in the last episode. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
It's called Dreamwalker. It's by Mary Summer Rain. And it's a big book of... questions she's got over the years, because she's written like 5 or 6 books previously that I have not read about metaphysics.
Oh, okay. So we're delving into
the shamanism, actually,
the occult.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think she would like that title. She's like a spiritual master. Her teacher was, No Eyes.
No Eyes?
Yeah, No Eyes. A blind, spiritual teacher. I wouldn't call her a shaman or anything like that. She had spiritual powers, but I don't think she had any specific field that she specialized in. She was Native American, but I don't think that mattered. Or maybe it did. I haven't read the other books.
She was some kind of spiritual practitioner.
Yeah, a teacher, though.
Okay, yeah.
Knowledgeable, wise.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so a wise person.
Yeah, a wise person.
A wise guy.
If you would.
Probably shouldn't.
No. From what I've read in the book, Noah seems very, like, on to the universal truths.
Yeah?
Like, vibrations and shit like that. And then suddenly starts talking about aliens.
In what way?
Like she had interacted with them, and I was like, oh, this lady's fucking crazy.
Okay.
But then she was like, oh, my family has two.
Well, but in what way? Because...
Like she's met them, and, like... through her teacher, No Eyes, who had also met them.
All right, but here's the thing.
And she said they were human-like.
So, all right. here's the thing. When I start thinking about the occult and the spiritual stuff and all of this stuff, there are just a multitude of different types of presences and entities and different things that you can experience in that realm.
And she talks about different dimensions and spirits as well.
And this stuff I am very familiar with and I can understand.
Even cryptids a little bit.
Yeah, that too.
Like Bigfoot. She talks about Bigfoot.
All right, well, you know.
Whatever.
I like the idea of Bigfoot.
I mean, there are aboriginal stories about large, furry creatures.
If Bigfoot is ever found, that will be a great day. We're going to party. And there definitely will be an episode built around that.
Bigfoot doesn't want to interact with humans. Humans are destructive.
But here's the thing. All right, here's my thought on this. All right, my first thought on this, in terms of whether or not extraterrestrials exist, aliens.
Just always skeptical.
Well, yes, but also... I keep a lot of room in my mind available for it because I believe that it's absolutely true that considering the scale of the universe, like even just looking at things in a purely scientific lens, which is what I usually like to do, the universe is more massive than we can wrap our heads around.
Okay,
ever.
Here's
I believe that extraterrestrials exist. I don't believe that there's... I believe the chance is low that they don't. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's so many planets. There's so many solar systems. But do I believe that they've come to Earth? The answer to that is no. The answer to that is the chance of it is extremely low. Not non-zero, mind you. But, like... so low that it might as well be zero for me.
So,
but
okay,
I want to finish this thought real quick. That the idea of like meeting an extraterrestrial. What if this person was meeting some type of like spiritual entity?
But she also talks about UFOs.
Well.
I know this is the part where you'll have trouble with it. Okay, so here's how she says it. She says they're human-like, and it depends on their environments, where their planets are, what the planet's environment are like, where they live. But they're all more advanced than us. They travel in similar shaped crafts, but it varies. There's some that are watching the Earth, trying to keep it on track. There's some that are just here.
Keep it on track?
Yeah, keep it alive, the Earth itself.
But why would they need to do that?
Because it's a living organism.
But what would they need to do to keep Earth alive?
I don't know.
Like we already, don't we...
We're kind of destructive when you think about it. And she says recently they've stopped helping because like when you think about it, the environment should be worse off than it is. For where we are in the industrial cycle.
No.
We've been putting out a lot of and every year we increase the bovine populations.
The environment is as bad as it should be. Honestly.
I think it could be worse with all the mining we do and all the...
It's not good.
No.
It's not good. I think it's worse than a lot of people realize.
Oh, it is way worse right now. This is the worst it's ever been.
Not to be alarmist or anything.
Oh, no, but
we're pretty...
We're on the edge.
You and I are pretty close to the science on this one. Like, we know someone... that knows what's going on.
Yeah, Amy the Muppet. We've established...
the scientist on this...
podcast.
We need to have her on, so maybe we should have that podcast episode.
Again.
No, but for real, though, because we didn't really...
We did it the second time she was on. We talked about hydrology and...
Maybe we need to get more into... Maybe we should have the...
We should have her talk about groundwater...
Because that's That's what Amy is into, and that's what she knows is going on. That's where,
and then you can talk about
you'll see a lot of stuff is way worse off than you think it is.
But there's also the weather science behind it.
Yeah.
Which is horrible as well. We're going through the worst climate conditions the planet's ever seen.
Well, anyway, not to get you off track, though, because, so...
Back to the aliens.
Let's disregard my skepticism for that and suspend my disbelief.
Yeah.
And
I'm skeptical of it, too. Don't worry. Yeah. If they're going to step in, they should step in already.
Honestly, I'd love to meet an alien. Like, I don't give a fuck if they show up and take over the world. If that's what they can do, they're probably already going to do it anyway. And we can't stop them, then, like...
We're better off if they are.
I don't know if that's the case or not. That might be, a basilisk, Rocco's basilisk type deal or something. But
in the back of the book, she lists all of these, like, nuclear sites and things. Chemical waste dumps. Toxic waste dumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird. Weather conditions for the last, 20 years and how they're changing. It's a very strange book.
Here's an interesting thing. Did you know that things like old paintings, like really old paintings and really old artifacts, things like that, which are really often counterfeited, can be authenticated by measuring the amount of radiation present in the material.
Because
materials that were made before all of the nuclear testing happened
have no radiation in them.
Have much less, whereas everything all the paints and all the materials that we use now
have more radiation than them.
Everything is more radiated now because of all the nuclear testing.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
It just travels in the air currents.
Mm-hmm.
It's
in the soil, it's in the plants, it's in us, it's everywhere because
especially
here in Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
This area that we're in is make no mistake, this shit's radioactive to a certain degree.
Here's a story. My papa, Demon Cloud, worked on the Demon Railroad. He didn't down a goblin suit. And back during Three Mile Island, he was a foreman on the on the Demon Railroad, and they brought through some trains with dirt from Three Mile Island all the way through the country. In the middle of the night, it was still smoking. No, it was still fucking smoking as it was going through legally distinct Cleveland.
I love that it had to be legally distinct.
So from Pennsylvania, to Ohio, that
legally
train
distinct, of course.
Yeah, that train could have derailed somewhere along the line and spilled all that, and then it went all the way out to Nevada.
The legally distinct one.
Nevada. Yeah. And they only ran it through at night, so it had to go through Chicago, it had to go through St. Louis, it had to go through Kansas City, all legally distinct. It had to go through legally distinct Phoenix. It had to go through legally distinct Vegas.
That's the most legally distinct of one. All.
That's the
one that we have to be the most careful about.
What happens in legally distinct Vegas stays in legally distinct Vegas.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We've never been.
I've never been. It's unfortunate to live in Death Valley and have never gone.
Maybe we should take a trip there and do a podcast from there.
All right. If we're going to lose
some Death Valley dollars.
If we're going to go to legally distinct Las Vegas, there's only one place there I want to go.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know how Amy would feel about this. Actually, she'd probably be down. Never mind. That was a dumb thing to think. The Bunny Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
The Bunny Ranch.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, there's another place we need to go. There's this store there that sells these weird products, with weird labels on them.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like totally not butter, and inside it's like sticks of like chips.
What?
And it's like,
wait. So do you, like? Is there any way to know what's actually inside?
Yeah, no, no. And there's like one that's just the salt, and it's a thing of salt.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you know about the LED dome in Las Vegas?
Yes.
That shit's crazy.
There's a lot to see in Vegas.
Okay, but so I watched a video about the
Hold on. What has happened in this episode?
So much. This is a long episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's good. We need these every now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
They help engagement.
We used to get tased if we went over 31 minutes.
Tased right in the balls. Yes. Yeah, that was the first season. I'm so glad that we renegotiated our contract.
I kind of liked it.
By the way, audience, those that are still here after 37 minutes.
Actually, I think they stay for the whole thing.
Yeah, honestly, actually, I've checked.
They enjoy
retention, the retention is
very high,
insanely high. That's why we keep getting more.
I think it's
impressions.
I think it's because
when people listen to us, they actually listen to us, and that's what kind of fucking weirds me out a little bit.
You know,
man.
Why?
Why?
Because we switch from topic to topic, and you never know what the episode's going to be about, and we have these weird ass titles.
Yeah, we're like the TikTok of podcasting. Gang gang.
Gang gang?
Gang gang.
Oh my god. Shut the fuck up.
I was trying out the NPC fucking bullshit they do. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Oh, here it is. Nope, that's not it. That's more coyote weed.
Ooh.
Different coyote weed. Oh, I had it on me. It was blended in with my black pants and my black amorphous blob. I like to wear clothes under my, or in my blob.
I've noticed that. I always thought it was weird because you don't have a physical form. You just have clothes floating in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like a comfort thing.
You know, that makes sense, actually. And it's very stylish clothing.
Yeah, it's always stylish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got like a fucking
three-piece suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The vest.
This shit's fucking on fleek. What the fuck were we talking about? God damn it.
I honestly don't remember. You can talk about anything at this point. You want to go for an hour?
We were talking about the orb in Las Vegas.
Oh,
I watched a video that talked about how much they spent on it.
Oh, billions of dollars.
It was ridiculous. Billions. I don't know the number right off the top of my head.
I think it was like $2.3 billion or something.
And like,
because every LED that light is like twice the price of a normal light. And they can make all these images on it.
Do you...
It's screens. It's LED screens.
Do you know, by the way, the main, like, the main professional collaboration, which was done, do you know what the main attraction inside the dome is?
No, what is it?
Bono.
Bono?
You too.
Bono.
This was a stage that was built
for Bono?
For you two.
Oh my god. No, for Bono. Let's be honest here, it's for Bono.
The one of the first, if not the first, like promotional video for the dome while it was before it was constructed. Because the thing about it is, I didn't even know about this motherfucker until after the fact it was constructed.
And oh yeah, neither did I.
Most people didn't. I don't know how
they
this
were. They were doing it in secret.
It just happened.
It but was the just there.
There was a promotional video for it.
Was there?
And it featured a massive digital baby and Bono. And Bono was there, and he was like, I don't remember what he said. It was something stupid like,
"Don't do drugs."
No, it was something even dumber than that, like, the future is now old, man. Like, I don't even know. Like, it was something just, like, what's happening? Why? You're telling me, and so this dome is host to the most magnificent U2 concert you can imagine.
Every night?
Because the inside of it also has
LED panels. Lights.
And
no, they're panels, right? Because they're like little screens.
They're not. They're actually individual little lights.
Oh!
So if you get up close to the dome, especially on the outside, the inside, it's a little bit more...
hard to see?
No. Well, I'll get to that. So if you're on the outside of the Las Vegas dome, you can actually see the individual LED lights that make up the image, and the resolution of it will be greatly reduced. And it's all skewed and fucked up, so the only way to view the outside of the dome is from far away. And if you see it from far away, then it looks mesmerizing. Like, insanely cool. But this thing is massive. Like, it's hard to understand the scale of this thing. It takes up the skyline of Las Vegas.
Really?
And it lights up most of the city. So imagine driving on the highway next to this thing. And there is a highway right next to this thing.
Oh, you've seen the lights? Yeah, oh my god.
Driving in Las Vegas at night.
And seeing the lights going off?
And there's just this massive dome just radiating light at you.
But isn't Vegas always lit up?
Yeah, but not like this. Okay. This is something else. Like this, like it's insane what they've done. It's an engineering marvel, but also...
horrifying?
Like, yeah, like, what have they done?
Dystopian horror?
Yes, and it's mostly used to run advertisements.
Okay.
Like Fortnite and fucking...
So it's just a big billboard?
Yeah. The worst goddamn billboard imaginable.
No, or the best.
If that shit shows up in Death Valley, I'm leaving. This show will never, ever be in the center of Death Valley again.
Don't worry, it's never going to show up in Death Valley.
It'll be in the center of fucking Cleveland or something. I don't know, I'll think of a place where they'll never build a dome, and we're going to be in the center of that place.
What if it's in every major city in the U.S.?
Then it will be in the center of fucking Kazakhstan.
Oh, let's move to Siberia.
It will be in the center of Siberia. We will find a babushka to make us soup, and we will do nothing but make podcasts and eat babushka soup.
I ate some Polish the other day. It was delicious.
I also ate a Polish the other day. It was awesome.
So good. Pierogies. Can't be pierogies.
Oh, you're talking about the food.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Don't talk about the Muppets like that. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about what the Muppets do in the crate. It's a crate right now.
It's a crate. Do we have any goddamn sponsors on this insane fever dream of a episode?
We're sponsored by Wizard of the Coast.
Oh yeah, that's right. I had just remembered it as I was saying it. Actually, you said that at the beginning. Yeah, we are sponsored by the Wizards of the Coast. I am saying that. I, John,
the Elminster, the Wizard of the Coast.
I, John, am saying
we're sponsored by Wizards of the Coast.
We are sponsored by the Wizards of the Coast. I can be held liable legally for what I'm saying.
Shut up. Please shut up. Please, shut up.
They can talk to my lawyer. The Wizards of the Coast.
I have a name for this episode.
What is it?
Hasbro Propaganda.
We had a name that I... there was a name earlier.
Oh, you have to scan through it.
Yeah, I have to scan through it anyway. Because you said the secret location of the SCP factory.
Oh, yeah.
Where we keep all of the SCP creatures.
Oh, yeah.
I had to beep that whole thing out.
Just edit it out.
Yeah, it'll just be a hard edit.
Yeah.
Because I suck at editing. It's just going to be all... Everyone will be able to tell that it was edited. We're sponsored by Wizards of the Coast. You fucking talk to my lawyer. I don't give a shit.
What lawyer?